Yeah, Palm City, Florida.
Yes.
We're in big downtown Palm City, Florida. I'm telling you all. Tell you what, I moved to Palm City in the year 2000, May of 2000, so it's coming up in 25 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Actually, it is, because it was May 1st. But so Palm City was a quiet, almost country little town, you know, and Map Road was just a road, you know. People used it occasionally. And suddenly in 25 years, it's like the main artery.
It is.
For this part of Palm City.
Yes.
Quite amazing. Well, that's okay. It's just when you're making a left turn from the road that goes by the radio station in the afternoon, you just may have bring something to read, you know, because it's going to take you a while. But at any rate, I'm David Frankour anyway. And I'm also going to welcome my co-host today, Ann Limhoko.
Good morning. It's so great to be here. And Ed, we miss you if you're listening.
Yes,
we
brother. Miss you, hope brother. You are. And we're going to have a prayer for us. You know, Ed, as many people following us know, that Ed's had his health issues. Mm-hmm. He's coming out of that. God is healing him and strengthening him. But there is a season of healing and strengthening that he's in right now.
Yeah.
And so it's always good to lift up our brothers and sisters when they're in that kind of season. So, Father, we just lift Ed up to you. We pray that you would continue to shower him with your healing graces, restore him, bring his strength back to fullness. Father, give his breathing a complete recovery. And we just pray that rich grace would shower him with your power so that he can share your word, your son, with the world in the ways that he knows he's been called to do. And while we're praying, before we close, Jonathan McLean's son, Andrew, just had surgery. And Father, we just want to lift Andrew up to you for ongoing healing. Bless him to be restored. We pray for the speed of healing that you determine is most important for him. And in the healing process, bless all those who are caring for him. Mm-hmm. They would be at the peak of their skill and dedication. And I know Jonathan and Rachel are certainly there. And any others that come into his sphere of influence, Father, bless them, give them wisdom and compassion and Father, the joy of serving. Amen. And we just come before you and give you thanks, Father, for these healings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, now I am pleased to have with us today Pastor Willie Davenport, who is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Port Salerno, Florida.
Amen. Good
right
morning.
Down the street, not far.
Just down the street, great yeah. neighbors, mm-hmm. and a great part of this area, too, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Port Salerno is a beautiful town and community. Never got to really see it at its peak as far as it's peaking now as far as what's going in there. And when I say that, I'm speaking for all those original Port Salerno Indians that they miss old Port Salerno, and I can understand yeah. that they want to keep it. Yeah,
yep.
The fishing town it is and,
yep.
or was, and they'd like to keep it as much of that as possible, which would be a blessing. But you know, I always look at those situations differently. I know it's nice to have our small little towns and things like that, but when God brings the mission field to you, you can't gripe and complain about it. You just got to be grateful that God brought some people to you.
Amen.
Absolutely,
amen.
And He does that a lot. You know, we just need some people. I know for a season of my ordained ministry, I wasn't completely aware of that.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, well, I was being sent.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think the other part of the equation is that while I'm there, God is sending.
Amen. Amen.
While I'm there.
Yeah, God works on such a tremendous level with his ministry. Truly, you know, we are not just out there doing it ourselves, but we are co-laborers with
yes.
Christ,
amen.
As Paul
yes.
talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we actually were just talking about missions and mission development and how that God does that.
Yes.
And we were talking out of Acts 16 about mm-hmm. Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy mm-hmm. and how that God had ported them out of Troas,
mm-hmm.
and it only took them 2 days to get to the place that they had to get to, but it took
wow.
5 days when they returned, which means that God was with them. He provided mm-hmm. the ship, He provided the wind, and
amen.
Sent them where they had to get to.
Amen.
And so God isn't just leaving us out there on our own.
Yeah.
He's very active in our work.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Or we are very active in His work, hopefully,
amen.
Right?
That's right. We knew what you meant.
Yeah, right. We're not going to really get on to
yeah.
each other too hard today.
No,
right?
No. I'm yeah. excited.
There's grace
I
here,
say,
Pastor.
Amen. Amen.
The first time I met you, Willie, you were here for a Wednesday Live interview,
mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, as soon as you started talking and sharing, the Lord said, get him on this program, because there's more to talk about, there's more to share, there's more to witness to.
Oh, amen.
And it's part of the vision God has given us for this program. We do a wide range of interviews with people in ministry,
mm-hmm.
and some are pastors, and some are doing other things. But
yeah.
I'm particularly, because I'm a pastor myself, and when I find someone like yourself that's really focused on doing God's work.
Yeah.
And
well, you're very kind.
No, that's true. You know, you are. And yeah, that you're, and it's not just that, but you're hearing God telling you how to be a pastor in the 21st century.
Mm.
And that's very important.
Sure.
And I like that. That's what I resonate with, that is what we have to be doing.
Yeah.
Because God is, in the 21st century, he's kind of turning some things around for the church.
Sure.
There's definitely a reset going on.
Sure.
And I like to bring in people who are part of that.
Yeah. Well, he definitely, you know, I think one group said it back in the 90s. They talked about how that God doesn't change, but he knows the times.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely has always worked within the times and the seasons of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody talk about how that many churches still try to be an 8-track church in a digital music world. and you've got to be really careful about loving your traditions more than you love your children or more than you love your
people.
It's
in the Bible.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, so you have to be careful about that without going too crazy at the same time. Just there's a balance and God's in control of it. You just got to listen.
Whenever I hear someone say what you just said, I'm reminded of Jesus quoting from the Old Testament to the Pharisees, I think, saying, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way of either you're going to hang on to traditions that actually obscure, get in the way of the work of God and the Spirit, Or you're going to listen to the Lord and go in the direction he wants you to go.
That's
even
right.
If it challenges the big T tradition.
Yeah, sure.
So, well, before we go kind of in depth into what you're doing now, tell us your God story. How did God get a hold of you?
Well, so I was raised as my pastor's son, pastor's kid, and so all the stigma that goes with that, right? And thankfully, none of that fell on me. My older brothers got that. And so, we always
are
tease.
They PKs too? Are your older brothers all PKs?
Yeah. Okay. We're all PKs.
Yeah.
And we have a little ongoing joke about how that there's three of us and one of us was talented and one of us was good looking and the other one, you know, had a great personality. But only the other two, they didn't get anything. And so,
you sound like a great group of siblings. I'd like to hang out with you.
For sure. I miss them. They're up in Ohio and Tennessee now. My oldest brother lives near my mom and dad, or I should actually say it, my mom and dad moved near my oldest brother. And so they get to be there consistently. And my other brother is in Ohio. And their hearts are very mission driven.
Yeah.
They've raised their children, are raising their children to love the Lord. I'm very thankful for that. But I grew up in that. My dad was a church planner from 1981 to 1991, I think it was.
Hmm.
And most of those years were in Michigan, a little place called Grand Rapids, Michigan area.
Huh.
Kalamazoo actually is where the church
was.
Familiar with that area.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And, so I was raised there. And I remember going to church, and I actually remember a story that we've talked about several times, how that I would sit by my mom, and my dad was preaching, and one time I leaned over to mom, and I said, hey, is dad preaching, or is he telling the truth right now? And just little things that you kind of grow up trying to figure out what preaching really is.
Yeah.
But even then, I remember I was in the 6-year range, and I remember going forward during an invitation once to dad, and knowing some of the terminology, saying, you know, I really feel like I need to be saved, and just some of those things. Of course, these are memories that are now 39 years old. But I remember going to him and just having that conversation about the gospel, but not yet. You know, it wasn't, I wasn't saved then. Mm-hmm. And then that summer, I believe it was in summer of 1987, we were at church camp in Miamisburg, Ohio, and Brother Jim Harris was preaching, and he was preaching on the example of the blood that had to be shed and laid on the, you know, put on the doorpost and the side post and everything, and how that when the Lord came through, that he would pass over when he saw the blood. And so even though I was seven and I didn't really have a true grasp of what sin was, I always tease when I tell my story that as a seven-year-old, a preacher's kid, you know, the good one, you don't really have a ton of like luggage that you're toting around. And so I tell people that even though I was in an innocent stage, I still remember stealing a lollipop from, it was Quality Farm and Fleet, kind of a, became Tractor Supply. But I stole that and got caught with that, and that really weighed on me. And so anytime...
Conviction of sin.
It was very much so. And I think that a true detail of being saved is understanding you are a sinner. You have to know you're a sinner. No one comes to the cross without knowing. Absolutely. And so so I just remember that, that sermon that night, and the Lord just really touching my heart. And even though I was so young and not really fully capable of understanding, I came around, went all the way to the front. And back then, at least at that church camp, at the invitation time, they had all the pastors. I mean, it was, talk about intimidating. You're talking about 20, 25 pastors, and they're just lining there, the front of the stage area. And I just went straight to Dad and knelt down, and right there.
Your dad was at the camp.
My dad was one of the preachers there. And so gave my life to Christ. He redeemed me in that moment. And I've never... I'm so thankful that I'm among those who have never questioned that. They've never questioned that salvation experience. And so, you know, even to the point of like flip-flopping that a little bit. And I've got, now we have four children. And there was a point where I had conversations with my kids about their salvation status and how that they need, you know, do you, are you confident in your salvation? And even saying, you know, if you ever feel like you need to make that right, then always make it right. And one particular of my children said, I'm very confident. And that was so amazingly confident for me to hear. And I totally relate to that. I have, I've always had that very same feeling that Lord redeemed me there, and he's put me wherever he's wanted me to be. And it's amazing that every area of my life where he's put me, in the bumps and in the high places and everything, those are all useful to this day. Not one of those things was wasted. And so growing up in that, and then surrender to the ministry, I did music when I was a teenager, and then kind of into my 20s, I met my wife. We actually met when we were 11 and 12, and we married in the year 2000 when we were both 20 years old. And so we've been married now 25 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a 25-year, because it's 25 years since being in your home, and now 25 years.
There it is. But she didn't marry a preacher at the time. I ended up surrendering to the ministry. And when I talk about the surrender of going into ministry, I oftentimes share this, share how that that was a, an extreme struggle for me, because I grew up in ministry and I knew what that looked like. I knew what it was to be in the glass house thing and to be the pastor's family. And so I really, really struggled with that surrender to preach. And then one day, Brother Mark Lau, who's now gone on to be with the Lord, was preaching. And the funny thing is I really don't remember the specific content of his message, but I do remember that God was calling me, and ended up going forward and just burying my face into his shoulder and just said, I know God's calling me into ministry. And and so it's just been, ever since then, it's been an adventure. Went on to plant a church in Edinburgh, Indiana. Went on to minister to churches all over the country through music and message and serving. And now here in Port Salerno, Florida. And so it's just my story, and that's just a bit of it. The things that God has brought us through, the events that we've seen, and then the upsides of everything. The reality is that even if I had known everything that was going to happen in this ministry and knew the things that are to come, seeing the blessings of just the obedience to that and God's reward for that, I would have done it all again. You know, just so thankful for it.
Yeah,
so
I hear you.
That's the calling, though, and thankful for the calling. Humbling, for sure.
Did you know you were always called, or just at that moment, if I may ask?
I think that I think that there was definitely there were the evidences that God was probably working in my life even as a younger man. Mm-hmm. And my wife made a comment in our business meeting last night. Someone asked about maturity because we're calling some interns to come and work with our teens right now. And someone asked about that, and my wife spoke up and gave testimony on my behalf, which was funny. But she said, you can't measure a lot of maturity against this guy because he was teaching Sunday school when he was 13 years old. And that's ministry life. You know, you kind of end up in those things.
Yeah.
And so I think there were the evidences where God was working in my life, mm-hmm. And had definitely set me forth to, if I would, you know, only submit to be used, which, you know, he would do to so many if they would only submit to that.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen.
There's a point I'd like you to revisit, and because I know when I was perceiving a call to ordain ministry and all that might mean, and my wife would relate to your wife because we were married in 71.
Yeah.
And it was, I began to perceive a call after I came to Christ in 76.
Yeah.
And so it was 82 when I went to seminary. So, yeah. She had 5 years to get, you know, adapted to that to some
right.
degree, but she didn't marry as someone that's going to be ordained. So, mm-hmm. but when it comes to the balance, church and family, it's a tough balance for pastors.
Sure.
How do you, I know it's grace, but
yeah.
how in particular do you look to that? How do you achieve that?
Well, all the glory always goes to God, and God has to always be our supreme desire. Jesus Christ,
yes.
you know, even speaks mm-hmm. about how that if someone is not willing to leave house and land and mother and father and children, if, yeah. then they're not worthy of him. And so I think that in some ways, I view that in a little bit of a unpopular way. Mm-hmm. My oldest daughter, she just got married March 22nd.
Wow.
And so thankful she married a young man that she met at the seminary. And he's surrendered to preach. He's pursuing whatever it is that God would have him to do. And when I spoke to him before he married her, I said, well, what is it that you're wanting to do? And he said, right now I'm praying that God might raise up a church that might call me. And I think he even phrased it on some level to say, give me a chance. And I thought that was pretty humble of him to actually say that. So
that is humble.
He won't listen to this broadcast probably because they're all the way in Texas. And so I can brag on him because I don't want to give him too big of a head yet. Not till we've
married a little.
Yeah, got to be married a little bit longer than that. But he's really turning out to be a blessing to my oldest daughter.
Good.
But in that time frame when they were engaged, I talked to my daughter about that. And the difference between my wife and what my daughter and my children are going to be is that if they do marry someone in ministry or something like that, they fully have a knowledge of what ministry life looks like from being a pastor's kid.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife didn't have that knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about, what does that look like? The same question. And a lot of people, they go into this immediate, it's almost like a mantra thing. It's like, well, you know, God first, family second, church third.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and I disagree with that. I really believe that if you will seek God first in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths.
Yeah, Matthew 6:33.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You keep him absolutely first in everything, and he'll balance everything else out.
That's true.
And
that
so
is true.
If you're out of balance with your family and with your church, it's not that you abandon church for the sake of your family.
We're putting God first.
Amen.
Got it.
You put God first all the time. And God's never going to put you in a place, if you're really serving him, he's never going to put you in a place where you are abusing your family. You know, your family is absolutely in God's protective care.
That's good.
Now, sometimes family struggles with that.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely we struggle with that. You know, in the ministry, in the field, so we have our struggles, and that's okay because God's grace is sufficient. And
absolutely,
you know, and if all of us drive toward Christ, mm-hmm. then we'll all be unified because Christ is not divided. And I would say my family's heard me say this, so I think they'll be okay in listening to this. And that is that definitely the hardest people for a pastor to pastor is his family.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
And the hardest people. Or the people that receive the most pastoring is the pastor's family,
mm-hmm.
because the pastor stands up on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and on Wednesday, and he preaches and he deals with the people. And then on occasionally we'll have a counseling session and deal with them. But that doesn't shut off. And I think that one of the marks of a true pastor is he doesn't flip a switch and become pastor when he steps into the pulpit. He is absolutely on call constantly, on the call constantly, even with his family. And there's been a lot of conversations that I've had with my family that are they're air quote, you know, churchy conversations, but they're biblical conversations about discipleship and about growth and everything. And so that's how I feel the proper way to balance is. I think that you as a pastor, you just 100% seek God, knowing that he will take care of your family. He will take care of the church. Amen. After all, they're all his anyways.
Amen.
And so, you know, to take the reins and try to do it yourself, you're bound for making mistakes if you do
that.
And when you're really in Christ, you're serving the Lord and you're being led in the Spirit to make decisions.
Oh yeah.
That when the Lord calls you to decide, pick the church over the family, there's a witness to both. But it's the opposite is also true.
Yeah.
When you have to choose your family over the church, there's also a witness to both.
Yeah.
And for the church needs to learn. And this is one of the big problems I think we have in Western Christianity anyway, particularly in America, is people have become accustomed to pastors literally sacrificing their families for the sake of the church.
Yeah.
And that God doesn't want us to do that.
That's correct. That's correct.
Listen, before we go any further, let's take a break.
All right.
And then we'll be back. Know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Hello, WCNO family. This is Jonathan McLean. I'm the general manager of WCNO. We had an awesome prayer and share. Thank you so much for being a part of that. A few of you have not yet responded. We are so close to meeting our goal. Give us a shout and let's get this thing finished off. God bless all of you. Call us 772-221-1100.
Welcome back to the front line. We are here with a local pastor, a man of God, who I've been pleased to get to know and getting to know even more, Pastor Willie Davenport, who's the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Port Salerno, Florida.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just going to ask you to, we were talking during the break where we might go when we come back, so I'm just going to ask you to take us there.
All right. So, during the break, you had asked, how did I end up in Port Salerno, Florida? And it is funny because when we were being from the Midwest and my wife and I growing up in the snow and the cold and everything, when we were younger and we would vacation in Florida, we would joke and tease about, you know, God needs missionaries in Florida too. And so,
hallelujah.
That, yeah, right?
In Hawaii too, right?
Yeah, right? All over. Oh, yeah. Send me Jesus. So, but you know, it was funny because we never actually really thought that would really come to fruition, especially not in the aspect of ministry, so to speak. After we had planted the church in Edinburgh, Indiana, and we had been there for about 10 years, I started writing music, and I know that you wanted me to kind of venture into this anyway, so sure. These definitely merged together. I started writing songs several years even before that, and some of those songs were really feeling like they were hitting, at least within our church and our churches, and you know, and the big focus of the ministry that formed into was really ministering to pastors' families specific. Mm-hmm. And so the ministry was not something that I would go and visit a church and just simply get up there and sing these songs that I had written or anything like that. It was an that was really just the foot to get in the door to spend some time with a pastor. And you'd be amazed at how in that ministry I would call a church and I'd say, hey, I'd like to come do this and I'd like to spend a couple days with, if you'd like me to, you know, we were fully able to take care of our own needs as far as we traveled with a camper and everything. And I would just tell them, if you let us kind of be in that area, I'd love to serve you and your family some way. Mm-hmm. And they would almost immediately start saying things like, well, you know, the church needs this and the church needs a fresh coat of paint, so to speak, and different things.
Wow.
And I'd back them up and I'd say, well, if that's what you really want me to help you with, that's fine. But what I meant was, I want to help you and your family. Is there anything going on personally that I can help you with? And I would use the example how that when I was pastoring there in Indiana, you know, talk about revealing a part of you. You hope no one on this level understands or hears. But for too many years, there was a bucket under our kitchen sink that caught the water because there's a slow leak in the trap and everything. And my wife was so good to take that bucket out on occasion, empty it, and then put the bucket back under there. And it's like, that was my life was so busy as a pastor that just to get down there and take an hour and fix the drain was just kind of one of those daunting tasks and just never really got to. And so I used that, built on that, just to look at it like, well, that was definitely one of those things I wish my wife did not have to deal with, you know, for those that time frame. And so when I would go to the churches, I would say, do you have a bucket under your sink? And just kind of like, let me come help you out with those things and just kind of love on your family as much as possible. So when we did that for 3 years solid, lived our whole family, all four of our children, we lived on the road in our camper. That was when we based out of Somerset, Kentucky. So there was a place there, a ministry called Macedonian Mission Services, and they had a house there that was specifically for ministers, missionaries that were kind of in transition. And we based out of there. We attended East Somerset Baptist Church for that time frame. And in the period of the year and a half that we based out of there, we were only in Somerset probably a total of like, you know, 6-8 weeks, something like that, in the whole time. And by the way, we were talking about this during the break. We want to be praying for the people in Somerset right now because of the tornadoes, as
London,
well as in Bloomington, all that area.
London, Kentucky.
Right, that whole strip. Mm-hmm. And so, but we based out of there, and we had gone through quite a bit of interesting things. Our first real launch in the ministry was down here to Florida. And I think that we had set up to visit about 18 churches, if I remember correctly. Mm. And so we were going to be here in, I think it was like 9 weeks, because we were visiting two churches a week and some, you know. And so we were going to be here about 9 weeks. Mm. And I remember telling my wife then, I said, because in our branch of ministry, we believe in something called ascending church, which basically is a church that would take a ministry, pray over that, and they would say, we want to, just like in Acts when they sent out Paul and Barnabas, we believe in that. And so we were seeking that church to really get behind, throw its weight behind our ministry and everything. And I remember telling my wife even then, as I was setting up all those churches, I said, I really feel like there's something particular about Florida, and that there's a church there that's going to get behind us and become our sending church.
You're discerning in the spirit, basically, right?
Well, we were really, I just really believe that very much so, in the discerning and the intuition of what God was doing there.
Yeah.
And so we were on our way to Florida, and we were in near Atlanta, Georgia, just before we got to Atlanta, and we were in a really bad accident. We were pulling our camper, and we got blown off the road essentially by two or three semis that just kind of shotgunned beside us, and they got us swaying. Before we knew it, we had flipped the camper, we had flipped and slid on our excursion. And so thankful. Whenever we think about that, it's one of those moments where we shudder and we just praise God that it did not go the way it could have gone. But our entire family was saved from being damaged in that. I think that we just had some scratches and a few little scars and things like that, but amazing for what that could have been. And we right then, whenever your ministry really launches out like that, you ask the question, all right, God, you know, is this the right direction?
Yeah.
But we powered on, and we really believed in it. And so we came down here to Florida. We visited many churches, and First Baptist Church of Port Salerno was one of those churches. They had gotten a new pastor. Brother Joe Harper had been there for over 40 years, and they had gotten a new pastor by the name of Josh Stacy, who had been there at that time about 2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And he gave me the opportunity to come and share about the ministry. We went from there, and we traveled all the way out west, visited churches all through the country, came down over on the west coast, and then came back, and we had received a call. First Baptist Church asked if I could come for a mission conference, and so we came back here. Trying to cut some of this out, that church ended up calling us to be our sending church, and shortly after they became our sending church, the pastor at that time had some personal family things that drew him back to Arkansas. He had to move back to Arkansas. Uh-huh. And so since we were here and we were going into just kind of a time of reprieve, they asked if I could become the intern pastor. And I think I shared this last time I was on the radio. Mm-hmm. And that is that I found out that intern is Greek for sucker, because what that basically meant was...
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So I became the intern pastor in August of 2019.
Not interim, intern.
Intern, yes. Thank you.
Right? Interim or intern?
Intern.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
Got intern.
So you were serving under somebody.
No, I'm sorry. Interim. Interim.
Like interim.
In time.
Oh, so yeah, interim. Okay, right. Got it.
So they did not have a pastor.
Got it.
You got me thinking hard now.
Sorry.
It's too early for that.
I'm sorry about that.
And so that was in August of 2019. And I remember coming back before that. And I told my wife, I said, it was really a funny feeling when we came over this bridge, actually Veteran Bridge. When we came over Veteran Bridge, I said, it's weird. It feels like we're really home. Like this is just where God wants us. And so I became the pastor in January of 2020. And then, and then the COVID season hit, and it was like, what a weird season to become a pastor of a church and everything. But that's really the story of how we came here. We've been here for, depends on how you want to mark it, 5.5 or verging 6 years now. August will have been here 6 years. And God's just been very faithful. We've gotten to see a lot of things happen in that transition time. And we're a small church, but we definitely love the Lord. And those who do come and be a part of our work and where God leads them there, they all feel the same way, that this is just a very tight-knit family type of a church. And,
wonderful.
And so we're very grateful for that.
And I think a lot of people who are between churches are really looking for that kind of church, that kind of worship environment, the family-sized church.
Small size, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we none of us know when we begin ministering in a church what God is planning to do to grow that church.
Sure.
And I think we always have to be aware that the family church today, you know, may be moving toward a corporate-sized church tomorrow.
Could be.
But that's something only God will know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we can't. We got to be really careful about having this mentality of what a successful church looks like.
Exactly. Right. With the numbers, not like that.
Yeah, you cannot do that.
Yeah.
And so I try to really hold people into that. And I think, I don't know if I can quote or not, but I believe it was John Piper said something to the effect of someone asked him, he was on a mission conference, I think it was overseas, and someone had asked him about church growth. And I think he made a comment along the lines of, am I giving enough disclaimers? I hope I'm giving enough disclaimers.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
but I think he made a comment along the lines of, we, especially in America, we've gotten really good at setting sail and having a motorboat to plant a church. And really what we need to do is lift the hoist and let the Spirit of God fill that and let it become whatever he wants it to be.
Exactly.
And so I think that God's church, you know, Christ's church is what you really want. And he's not impressed. There's never been a church on any scale that Christ has walked in and said, well, you guys are really doing it.
Yeah.
The only measurement he looks at is the faithfulness of those people on whatever size that they are. And so I always try to just encourage our church and other churches the same way, and pastors of small churches. That's going back to the ministry. Most of the churches that we minister to were smaller churches, pastors of small churches who feel the weight of the world almost like condemning them because their church isn't booming out the walls or anything. And you just want to really embrace those people and just say, hey, are you faithful? Are you where Christ wants you to be? Well, then you are a success.
And yeah, discipling the flock that was given to you.
Amen.
You know what? And maturing them, making sure they're so they're not in the milk, but in the meat.
Amen.
So that when they do get launched out themselves, because we all have a ministry.
Oh, for sure.
So
for sure.
Focusing on them.
Yeah. And there's not enough of that going on, in my opinion. There's not enough of actually growing people.
Yes.
And really, you know, it's funny to me how many immature, longtime believers there are.
There are many, I know.
And that falls on the pastor. More than numbers, more than the success of your property.
Absolutely.
What falls on the pastor is the discipleship of the people, truly knowing the meat of the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. And there's this aspect, it's a worldview of growth. It's a worldview of success that has long ago entered into the higher echelons of church leadership. And I'm speaking of Western Christianity all over.
Sure.
And because of that, when seminaries turn out pastors, they've already been inculcated in that worldview that their first church, if it's 50 people, when they're done, it has to be 1,000 people.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? But that's not God's plan.
No.
Jesus didn't lead. That's not part of the Great Commission. Now, we do know when you have a congregation of people where their pastor loves the Lord and he is a good teacher and a preacher, and that everything that Jesus wants him to do, he's doing, and the church is growing first in spiritually,
amen,
in faith, in discipleship, and all the things they need to be people of God, to be Christians, to be God, Christ followers, all of that. To be focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ, all those things that are important.
Yeah.
That people will be attracted to that.
They should be. Yeah.
They should be. And that does suggest there will be numerical growth, but it has to come from those basics.
Yeah.
That Jesus taught his disciples and that we've hopefully carried on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're starting on the wrong foot.
Yeah. There's not a biblical formula for church growth. The only thing that there could be connected to that would be the sharing of the gospel, and you know, and you know, Old Testament, the seed is still in the barn type thing.
Yeah.
But even that is not a formula for if you are the most, you know, dedicated to getting out there, then you're going to see growth. If that's the case, then poor Noah and Jeremiah. I mean, these are some dedicated guys, and they simply didn't boom. You know, they didn't even have real followers. The reality is that, you know, again, back to that just being faithful and doing the work. Mm-hmm. And I think that the more you grasp, you don't save people anyways.
Right.
The more
you
grasp that, then that gives us a massive relief. That's like, man, if I was responsible for people getting saved, I would go crazy over that because I can't do it. When I see what God does and I see, well, my job is to be faithful.
Yeah.
He's the one, again, Acts 16, he's the one who opens the heart that they be saved.
Amen.
And so we trust him to do it.
And the bottom line is that God has a plan, a perfect plan for every congregation.
Amen.
To be the size that he wants it to be.
That's right.
And no bigger or no smaller, but that's God's plan.
That's right.
And what we have to open up to is when we listen to the Lord, and that's our primary listening, is to the Lord and following what he says.
Yeah.
As pastors, then we're going to be looking, we're going to have more of a mission field mentality.
Yeah.
We're going to say, well, instead of being a 10,000 member church, how about 500 churches of 50 people.
Sure.
Or something. My math is not good, but you get what I'm saying. Never
That's
was
all right.
good at that.
You know what? You're interning on that. It's all right.
That's good, Pastor. That's a proper use of
it. But it's all what God wants. And that's what I think in part of this, what I use the term reset for the church. That's been part of the reset.
You know what? A thing I'm thinking about, I could pivot, I don't know when our next break.
Our next break is in about a minute and a half.
Oh, so maybe we'll pivot after the break.
Listen how fast you pivot. I've never seen you pivot before. So
I just wanted to talk about churches as healing centers. There's a lot of people that are oppressed. You know, I'm not saying like possessed, oppressed, or you know, like things heaviness and things, that they need to be going to churches where they can be set free.
Amen.
And we could talk about that after the break.
Let's just go ahead and take a break now.
Okay.
Then we can come back to that. And let us not forget, though, really want to help people understand where is First Baptist Port Salerno.
Okay.
We know it's in Port Salerno, but hey, help us narrow that down,
okay,
how people can get in touch with you and what's going on there. So let's do that.
Part of me wants to be where you are. The other me wants to stay close to shore. I know right here won't get me too far, but I'm ready, Lord, to take the plunge. I want to be where you are, oh Lord. But sin is this wall that I can't avoid. So how do of yours, I will repent of my sin. Holding me hostage, can't see, can't move, do nothing without you. The waves, they are tossing, waters are shaking. There in the distance, miracles are waiting. Faith is moving, you can't stop my movement. Pushing and walking until I get to you. The waters can't keep holding me down. No, the waters can't keep holding me down. The waters can't keep holding me down. Up will arise, up will arise. The grave could not hold you. You walk in the water. All of my sins went down in the water. Waters are shaking, there in the distance, miracles waiting.
And you were listening to Walking on Water. That was done by Josh Halsey. And we are back. This is the last segment of The Front Line. We're still on the front line. We haven't retreated.
All right, good.
And we're glad about that. We have with us today Pastor Willie Davenport, who's the senior pastor in Port Salerno, First Baptist Church, Port Salerno, and always welcome.
Amen.
You know, I keep saying this on the air because I want to make sure people hear me say this. We're gonna have to have you back.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's
I've
down
enjoyed
the road.
It just goes by too fast
this.
To get into like deep.
It does go
like,
by,
deep,
and there's
deep,
so many more things
know?
When we're done. You know, we're playing the close of the show, and we're sitting around the aftermath. I'm going to say, gosh, there were some things we could have talked about.
Well, if you bring me back, then maybe we won't have to go into the depth of who I am, where I've come from. Everyone listening, just remember
that. Take diligent
notes.
That's right.
That's true. We could just probably intro it really fast about that and then go straight into the questions.
Of course, you know, our audience is so, they it's like the ebb and flow of the tide, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of our people listen to this the programs all day long, or most of the day,
and then we got new ones too.
We got
new
ones that are listening for the first time, and saying, "Well, I never knew you guys existed, but it's great."
Yeah,
hope you're saying that anyway.
That's right.
And then there are others that are in their car, and that's the only time they listen, drive time. And we're happy for all of you listening. If you're driving right now and you're listening, praise God! Thank you for listening. So where we're gonna go? Let's pick up.
Well, about churches being, you know, like for the people who are wounded.
Yes.
They need to be for people who are spiritually sick, basically. You know what I mean? And those that are maybe in bondage and need to be set free from things.
Amen.
So
I think that you have
to speak into that, Pastor.
I think that you have to really take that with a grain of salt as well. And,
yeah.
And the reality is just like we mentioned earlier, that no one gets saved without realizing they're a sinner.
Yeah.
The same thing is true about restoration. Restoration is not something...
Yeah.
It's not something that it's like, we like to use the idea of come as you are. And amen. You know, Christ mm-hmm. absolutely does have that. And there is, mm-hmm. there's a lot to be said about come as you are. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that, and you may have heard this, I heard this recently, and I said, that's absolutely true. And that is that Christ doesn't want you the way you are. Mm-hmm. That's why he died on the cross, to change you.
Yes. Right.
Yes. And so when we come yes. to him and we're broken, he doesn't want you to be broken. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to not be broken, you have to submit to his lordship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when you base your life on, I'm just going to do what I want to do, and you kind of make God a genie in the bottle type mm-hmm. God, that's mm-hmm. there's no true restoration in that. Absolutely. There's no true happiness in that. And so yeah, there needs to be a healing where we have mm-hmm. like the Elijah moments, like we talked about when we first came in here, mm-hmm. where we embrace those who are broken. We love on them. You know, there's mm-hmm. the woman at the well, and there's the woman caught in adultery. Yes, we have those yes. situations. We mm-hmm. just embrace them and we love them. But let's not forget to say, now go sin no more.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
And the doctors that we go to, and when we are sick physically, we have to usually go through something we don't want to have to go through mm-hmm. in order to get feeling better spirit or mm-hmm. better physically. Amen. And so the same thing is true in the Word of God and within the church mm-hmm. is that we just trust that if God's brought you here,
yeah.
then there must be something here for you. Just mm-hmm. endure and just trust that you're going to be better on the other side of that.
Amen. And that, you know, this is even as you read, when you read the Gospels, mm-hmm. and you see, who was Jesus to the hurting, you know, and how, what did he teach his disciples to be like him? And you see, you begin to see that emerge mm-hmm. In how he reached out to hurting people that were
Amen.
Physically damaged, emotionally Amen. Damaged, spiritually damaged, that, you know, there was, he was bringing his love to them, pure, perfect love to them in a way that brought them.
Yeah, in a way that they were willing to go through what they had to, again, for that healing.
Yes.
And I think that you have to have that disconnect of the arrogance. You know, if Christ spent time doing anything with his with his church, it was trying to beat the pride and the arrogance out of them.
Yes,
and you know, it's amazing when you really surrender all that and you realize, wow, I am nothing. Mm-hmm. outside of Christ.
Yes.
Then the message that you teach is not your message, it's Christ's message. And man, there's so much comfort in that, so much love in that. And but I think too often people aren't really looking for real recovery, and they just simply they want the mentality of, can I just take the pill?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, or just a one-way ticket, like just get me to heaven.
Yeah.
And there's things as a Christian that are going to be hard. We need to rule and reign in where we are now.
Amen.
Do you know what I mean? And bring, I believe, heaven to earth.
Yeah.
And right. and just, you know, we need to, we talk about this because we have a program on Tuesdays, and it's called
A biblical
response. And we talk about just ruling and reigning. I was very active in the government field. Make sure that we are the light in the government, in the education
Amen.
Field,
yeah.
in all the very seven good. Different, you know, areas that they talk about. Mm-hmm. And we need to mature as Christians to be the mature army that the Lord wants us to be. We're not supposed to be here and just be in our little homes and, you know, like, okay, let's just wait till the Lord comes back and then we go mm-hmm. and just, you know.
Yeah.
We need to be strong soldiers for Christ.
Amen. We talked about that even last night at church, and that is we re-brought up the word meek. People oftentimes say meek is weak, but really that's not Mm-mm. meekness. Meekness Mm-mm. is extreme power under control.
Yes.
And so that's true. We need to be meek and let the world see what true power looks like as far as
Amen.
It being under control by the power of God.
Amen. You
know? Amen. Yeah. Tell us how we can find First Baptist Port Salerno. Yeah.
Brother, you are so good at plugging that in. Thank you so much for that.
Yes.
I know we've been trying to figure it out, but that got us there. We are on Dixie Highway. And so if you're familiar, or A1A, if you're familiar with Port Salerno at all, so if you enter, if you come into Port Salerno from Salerno Road or from Cove, you're going to go north on Dixie Highway. If you come from Indian or Monterey, you're going to go south.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a long, just the first roundabout you come to, or well, I won't use the word
like
first.
Like a traffic oval.
There's a traffic oval. There you go. Thank you. And that's St. Lucie Boulevard that goes to Sanspret Park.
Yes.
Just north of that. That's where our church is found. There on the east side of the road there.
I know where that is exactly.
It's a bright it's a lovely blue building, and we have our church van parked out front with our signage on there and everything. And so we'd love to have anyone who gets this. If you're looking for a home church, we'd love to have it come be with us. We do have a fellowship dinner the second Saturday of every month. Most months, just depending, of course, if there's a holiday. And so that's kind of an open invitation to all things. And we are really praying about and developing a youth ministry right now. Literally last night, we voted on bringing in some intern youth leaders. And our church is behind this.
Not interim.
Yeah, yeah, not interim.
Intern.
Intern youth leaders. Yeah, praise God.
We're going to ring this chamois as much as we can.
Sorry, Pastor. That was so good.
So we want to encourage, if anyone would like to come be a part of that group, we'd love to have you.
And well, what time are your services on Sunday?
Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:45, and we have worship service at 10:45. And then Sunday afternoon, we have a small Bible study prayer time at 4:30. And then on Wednesday evening, we have another in-depth Bible study, usually at 6:30.
That's how I grew up, with the Wednesday night and the Sunday night.
Right?
I'm glad to hear that you still have that at the church.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, and my wife has talked about that. That almost sounded wrong. Let me rephrase that. My wife and I have talked about that before. And my attitude toward a Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening is that you only have these small pockets to do your teaching and discipling. Let's not get rid of them.
Exactly. Right.
I want to do that as much as possible.
That's great,
at least
Pastor.
Make it available.
And
that's great,
if someone's got the pen poised over a piece of paper and says, I'd love to have their phone number.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me just get my personal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you're okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's 812.
Okay.
552.
Oh, that's an Indiana number.
It is.
Sorry, 812.
She caught that. Yeah, 812-552-4439.
And that is
Pastor Willie Davenport.
Pastor Willie Davenport's personal cell number.
Yeah.
And you can get, when he answers it, you can get him.
There you go. Now, just don't introduce yourself as we want to pay off your student loan. Just don't do that and we'll talk.
that's great. And I appreciate that. I get a little dry throat here. I don't know what's going on. Take over, Ann.
Yeah. I think it's great because I think the Lord is doing such a great thing in Florida right now, specifically with the church. And I feel like, you know, you being called here, I was called here 3 years ago, you were called here 5 years ago. The Lord's doing something spiritually here. Yeah. Don't you agree?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he's good and faithful wherever we are, right?
Yes.
And I think that years ago I went through a series, and you guys may have gone through it as well. It was the Experiencing God series and the study. Did you ever go through that,
Harry Blackerby? Oh, that's a wonderful series.
Wonderful.
I went through the whole thing.
Amen.
Yes.
And he taught a principle in there that if you grab onto it, it really changes your outlook. And that is that God never slumbers, right?
Yes.
Which means that God is always at work. It's never a matter of saying, God, would you please work here?
Yeah.
It's the reality that God is always at work. If anything needs to happen, it's you need to go to him wherever he's working, whatever he's doing.
Amen.
And too many people don't understand that. They say, God, this is what I want to do. You know, don't waste your time and spin your tires on that. I know what God's doing. Get involved with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. I think that's another thing, that that kind of attitude that unfortunately some people got from their church, you know, from preaching and teaching.
Yeah.
You know, that, well, God, I'll just pick something. God will be happy with it.
Yeah, for sure.
But there's no scripture in that.
No, there's not. Yeah, and again, that kind of goes back to that genie in a bottle mentality as far as looking at God and saying, you know, I'm just going to If only people would realize that what God wants for you is way better than what you want for you.
Yeah.
And just trust that, you know, seek his will. And
submit to his will. And like you talked about lordship.
Amen.
Is the Lord really Lord over your life? That's a huge question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We even discussed yesterday, kind of like the constant question was, where does your allegiance lie? We're talking about the church of Thyatira. We're going in a series
I saw that, Pastor.
And so we're in the entire series going through all these churches, and we just got to Thyatira, and we just opened up who they were, and what we find is that this area was known for their guilds. It was a trade area. And so what the struggle of the church was that there was kind of this mixed allegiance, and that was an allegiance to Christ, but there was also an allegiance to their guilds of where they worked and everything. And the question is where's your allegiance? And
that's
wherever
great.
Your allegiance is, that's going to be revealed in your life and your lifestyle and your decisions and everything.
Yes.
So that lordship is extremely important.
Yes.
When we properly speak of a relationship with the Lord, we use the word obedience. And in many minds today, secular minds, obedience is not a good word.
Sure.
You know, it's because they perceive it as making a decision over and against their own will.
Yeah,
it's got like a negative connotation.
Because
kind of the ugly cousin of submissive.
Yeah, exactly. And yet,
the Lord
when
calls us to obedience.
Those of us who have been saved and have had, by the way, I don't have 100% record being obedient.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, sure. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, so it's been spotty, at least in the beginning, but better now.
Disclaimer, right.
But true, when we finally submit, willing, okay, God, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When we finally submit, it's the freest we will ever be. It's the best life we will ever have right now.
Yeah.
You know, this is not just for heaven. This is for right now.
Yeah.
And we're telling you this even though many listeners are saying, oh, I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust the Lord for everything in your life.
Amen.
You prayed. You trust the Lord with your family. Moving to Florida, you're trusting the Lord because you've been submitted to his will, and he led you and your family.
Yeah, and you know, my wife and I have talked about how that, you know, the best place to be in the world, wherever God wants you to be.
Absolutely.
That's the best place to be.
Yes.
And, you know, whenever we talk about things like this, I always go back to, you know, Matthew 5 and Jesus giving the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. If you look through that list, Christ talks about where happiness comes from. Well, where happiness comes from is not where world happiness is found.
No.
Mm-hmm. Happiness comes from, you know, the poor. Happiness comes from merciful. Mm-hmm. Happiness comes from, you know, being peacemakers and just going meekness, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if the world looks at that and the world would say, man, that's the biggest bunch of losers I know of. You're poor and meek and humble.
Yeah.
And the reality is Christ says, no, that's where happiness is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have to measure what your happiness looks like in eternity.
Yes.
You know? And so even to the point where
storing up your treasures in heaven, Pastor.
You have to be careful about the living your best life now, because spiritually speaking, you can be happy now, but that's because you're going to be living your best in glory. You know, you're living for that.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Well, I'm looking at the clock, which is an unfortunate habit that I have.
I wish we had another hour to talk.
I know we do.
Because it's just deep and rich in the scriptures. And
Amen.
And that's why I say we'll have you back. We have to have you back. There's more to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I love that. Thank you for an opportunity.
Well, I thank you for, this is from God, you know, and I'm just glad that he told me to ask you to come. If it's possible, I always ask people to pray, you know.
Yeah.
And if you can possibly do a prayer in about a minute and 37 seconds.
Sure.
What's on your heart to pray for, brother?
Always the gospel. Then always as the lost come to Christ.
Would you do that?
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Heavenly Father, God, we just want to come to you right now, and we just take that very opening idea. We call you Father. God, I pray that as we reach out to you right now, we can reach out to you as young children with our hands lifted up, understanding that we have nothing of any real value. God, you are where our value lies, in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that anyone listening to this right now, if they could not use that word Father properly to understand what it is to be your child, then God, I pray that as you did with Lydia there in Acts, God, open their hearts right now and bring them to the gospel, bring them to the cross, and let them know that your forgiveness is rich and full, and that you Amen. Can truly meet yes. all of their needs, and you can fill the space that the world can't fill. God, I pray that you would just be the faithful God that you are. Even to ask for your faithfulness seems redundant because you are truly faithful. God, I pray that you would just take this time, this session, and use it all for your glory and help us to be obedient as yes. we spoke about in all of our actions. Thank you for Anne. Thank you for David. And thank you for this time Jesus. That we've got to know each other. We pray for the people hurting in the storms, and we pray for all the other yes. needs that are out there. We ask this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. We still have a little time, and I have to almost talk up until a certain amount of seconds.
Yeah.
Give us the street address and that phone number again
oh,
for the
goodness.
Church.
You'd ask me for that.
I'm sorry. That.
That's okay. It'd take me a second to pull it up.
We
is
know
all.
It's on A1A, and you can Google.
I just closed the website like two
yeah,
seconds ago.
you can Google yeah. the church, but I thought people might, again, that pen poised over the paper.
Yeah. Let's see here. Of course, I can't just pull it up.
Well, his
fast.
Phone number.
You have it.
We'll repeat his phone. Well, okay, here it is. 4397 Southeast Dixie Highway
there it is. Yep.
in Stewart, Florida.
Yep.
So 4397 Southeast
Dixie address.
Highway.
And you can find us on YouTube as well and on Facebook, First yeah. Baptist Church of Port Salerno.
And your phone number again, quick.
Mine is 812-552-4439.
Amen.
Willie, thanks for being with us. We'll see you again.
Thank you so much, guys.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front lines.